Welcome to Tsuchida Megumi Church Worship Service. Now we're going to read the Bible first, so please open your Bible, the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 2, verses 31 through 45. Daniel chapter 2, verses 31 through 45. Your Majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, and its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you are watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken to pieces and became like chaff in a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. Your Majesty, you are the King of Kings. The God of Heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. And in your hands he has placed all mankind, and the beasts of the field and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. After you, another kingdom will arise, inferior to yours. Next, a third king, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, as strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so that this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of Heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. That dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. If you look at the beginning of chapter 2 in Daniel, you can see the King Nebuchadnezzar had the greatest power in the world of the Middle East at that time. But this king was worried. His mind was troubled. He was full of fear. He couldn't sleep. He had so much power, he could kill anybody if he wanted to. He has incredible amount of power and authority at that time in the Middle East. But because of one dream, his mind was troubled. He was full of fear, and he couldn't sleep at night. That's what humans are. Even if we try to make ourselves look strong, we are very, very weak. So this King Nebuchadnezzar wanted this dream, his dream, interpreted, but and he looked for all the wise men to interpret for him, but none could interpret it. So he almost executed all the wise men to death. But before that happened, Daniel appeared. And because of God's blessings, Daniel was able to interpret his dream for him. And then he tries to explain the meaning to the king in the passage we just read. If you look at the content of the meaning of the dream, there was a big statue. The head was made of gold, chest and arms are made of silver, and the belly and thighs are made of bronze, and legs were feet were made of iron and clay, mixture of iron and clay. And then beside this statue, there was a rock that was cut out not by human hands, and then that rock smashed the statue to pieces. And then the smashed statue became like chaff. And then the wind swept them away and without leaving a trace. So instead of the statue that was smashed, this rock became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the content of the dream that the king Nebuchadnezzar saw, and then Daniel tried to explain it, the meaning. The head part, the made of gold, represents King Nebuchadnezzar, according to Daniel. It's to show the glory of the Babylonian Empire, but the rest of the body were the coming empires that will replace a Babylonian Empire. So the large statue show the glory of the empires in this world. And, of course, many scholars today have tried to interpret this whole story, but only God knows what it all actually means. But instead of trying to academically dissecting today's passage, I would like to us to understand there are two messages that God want us to convey to us. Two messages through this story. The first message that God wants to give us is that even if the worldly kingdoms may look dazzling, but that those kingdoms or empires will not last forever. And the second message is that God will eventually build God's kingdom, which is lasts forever. Those are the two messages I think we can learn from today's passage. So first, the worldly kingdoms or the empires may look dazzling and enormous, but they will not last forever. And we kind of understand that, don't we? Our kingdoms may look quite dazzling, but the foundations of those kingdoms, worldly kingdoms, may be based on very weak foundation. Let's look at verse 31 again. Let's read. Your Majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. So this statue was incredible. It was awesome in appearance. It produces awe in people who saw it, right? So, but this statue had a very weak foundation. If you look read verses 32 and 33, the head of the statue was made of pure gold. Its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron, partly of baked clay. So this statue is kind of interesting, isn't it? It's kind of funny. The head is iron, and the chest and arms are made of silver, but if you go to the bottom, it becomes weaker and weaker, of poor quality. So you need an incredibly strong foundation if you have a head that is made of gold and chest made of silver, but the feet were made mixture of iron and clay. Iron and clay do not mix well, but as you can see, that it's a very bad construction. So that kind of statue will decay very fast and collapse eventually. But this statue that represents worldly kingdoms has very weak foundations. But it was interesting in the story, it didn't decay by itself, but the rock came and smashed the statue. If you look at verse 34, while you are watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. So one rock that was cut out, not by human hands, and struck the feet of the statue, the foundation of the statue, the foundation that was made of clay and iron. So this awesome statue was completely destroyed by one stone. So the rock actually may have looked not impressive, but somehow destroyed this impressive statue. A statue that represents worldly powers. And this rock has a very interesting feature. It says it's not cut out by human hands. So that means it was cut out by God. And this rock judged this sinful world. So what is this then? What is this rock? Let's look at Luke chapter 20, verses 17 through 18. Jesus looked directly at them and asked, "Then what is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." That's what Jesus said, using the phrases from the Old Testament. Jesus himself is the cornerstone, and the world does not necessarily understand the value of that stone. And if it comes to the human world, it will destroy everything. Now let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 8. This passage talks about that Jesus himself is the rock. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 8. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him. So he's saying, come to Jesus. Jesus, who was rejected by humans, but chosen by God. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious, but those who do not believe, The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. So the rock that smashed the statue to pieces was Jesus Christ. Compared to a large statue, the rock looked poor, that didn't look as if it had a special value. But that rock was Jesus Christ. And God that who cuts out the rock, who rules the world, and God will establish a godly kingdom that will last forever. Again, let's look at Daniel chapter 2, verses 34 and 35. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hand. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, and the bronze, and the silver, and the gold were all broken to pieces and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. Now let's look at verse 44. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. So the worldly kingdoms are to be destroyed to pieces by Jesus Christ, which is the cornerstone. And so the Daniel said, this is the interpretation, and this is true. So the rock, the cornerstone that represents Jesus, is it worthless to you? Meaningless to you? Is this rock the source of your strength? The Christian faith is not about healing. It's not about wishes being answered. Or it's not about finding an answer to our problems. Of course, the Bible talks about things that are related to those. And God does answer our prayers. But that is not our primary purpose. The primary purpose of Christian faith is to for us to wait for God's eternal kingdom to appear. So for that purpose, we need to live our lives not for ourselves, but live for Christ. Last week, on Monday, I went to Tomishiro Museum in Gunma Prefecture. You know Hoshino Tomihiro? Some of you are probably familiar with him. He was a PE teacher in middle school, but he had an accident and he had a serious injury to his back, and then from his neck down, he's completely immobile. That's what happened to him. But he's now a painter, and he writes poems as well. And this museum exhibits all his pieces. And this was my third time that I went there. And of course, every time I'm touched by his works, and he gives me lots of comfort. He gives me so much encouragement. And all those emotions get mixed up and make me, you know, have tears in my eyes. And he's a Christian. When he was hospitalized for 7 years, he met Jesus and he accepted Jesus. He became a Christian, and he has incredible Christian faith and fine sensitivity in the areas of arts. So I was there for 2 hours, and I looked at his pieces, read his poems, and thought about life. And I was touched again by his works again this time. And there was one poem that I read. You may be familiar with this poem. When I thought the life is the most important thing, it was difficult to live. But when I realized there is something more important than life, the living was much easier and more enjoyable. And this poem of his kind of overlaps with today's passage in my mind. He said, when he thought the life was the most important thing in the world, it was difficult to live. So when we are preoccupied with enriching our own lives with gold and silver, and when we are preoccupied with gold and silver, we are controlled by our desires, which are never get filled up. But when you realize there is something more important than life, then life brought joy. That's what he wrote. The rock that we read about in today's passage, a rock that doesn't look awesome or dazzling in its appearance, but the rock which is the cornerstone, which represents Jesus, gives us eternal life. So instead of getting smashed to pieces, it gives us spiritual joy. So Hoshino-san's body is immobile. In a sense, he is in bondage, physical bondage. But he realized there is more important things than life itself. And then that gives you joy when you realize that. This is faith, isn't it? So when we live for Christ, but not for ourselves, it gives us joy. But to live for Christ, as you know, is not easy, is it? I had a family devotional meeting this week and this month, and I read about chapter 6. I read chapter 6 in the book of Romans. And I learned something important. In chapter 6 of Romans, I realized that I am a servant to God. I am a slave to God. When we believe in Jesus Christ, when our sins are forgiven, and when we are saved, and when we became free from bondage of sin, And we emphasize that part. But we often become complaining about our lives, and we forget about the fact that we are servants. We are servants to God or slaves to God. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 23. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 23. Don't you know, when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads you to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God, though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I'm using an example from everyday life because of a human limitation. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you are slaves to sin, you are free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, that a benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, we've been set free from the slavery of sin, but we became slave to righteousness. So we have changed from one slave to another in one sense, in as Christians. And slaves cannot control their lives on their will because they don't have freedom. Slaves need to obey the will of the master. That's what slaves are. And the most important feature of slave is that slave cannot quit being slaves on their own. And the person who gives freedom to slaves is the master. And slaves do not have that, have freedom. Only the master can free the slaves. So, Christians, being Christian means not, being Christian doesn't mean we're going to live lives for ourselves, but we live for Christ. That means willing to become slaves of Jesus Christ. Do you want to become slaves? Are you slaves? Can you find joy in obeying Jesus Christ as his slaves? If I'm a Hoshino Tomino, I would ask God, how come, God, you did not stop me having that accident? How come you did not make me a Christian before I became immobile? How come you do not heal me and gives me mobile? Because of your power. I would probably protest to God. And of course, if you read his poems, you can understand he had that kind of conflict within himself. But the words the Hoshino Tomohiro uses and the faith that he understands. It can only be experienced because of his experience. He has all that faith and all that sensitivity because of his experience of becoming, having an accident and becoming immobile. So that he can see things, the blessings that comes from God that you cannot see if you are completely healthy. That's why he has this special faith and sensitivity that he has. He is shining as a Christian where he is. The rock that smashed the statue. The rock that most many people do not find worthy, but that stone will become a mountain and fill the whole earth. But he looks up, Hoshino Tomisan looks up to God and finds, I think, he is in a sense, he's a servant to God. There's another a poem that Hoshino-san wrote. Trees cannot move around on their own. The trees need to grow at a place where they are placed. Try to become as tall as possible. I find trees like my friends. Trees cannot move on their own, but they grow where they are placed and try to reach the maximum height they can. Those trees are like my friends. That's what he wrote. When Hoshino-san, because he is immobile because of the injury, and he somehow feels sympathize with trees. Have you ever thought about that? That's an incredible sensitivity, isn't it? Instead of living our lives for ourselves, but living for Jesus Christ, becoming His servants, become His slaves. We need to understand we are His servants. We are His slave. Of course, it's a totally different kind of slave when we were slave to sin, but now we are slave to Jesus Christ. We as Christians cannot be Christians on our own. Now you are believing Jesus, right? Your confession from because we are slaves to God. We will continue to be, as Christians, slaves to God. But if I continue to talk like this, you may say, I don't want to come to church anymore. That's I'm worried about a little bit, but every time I give a message, we want to give a message of healing to those who are in sick. I want to give a message getting needs met to those people who are having a financial trouble. And I want to give an encouraging message to people who are having problems. I want to give a message of companionship, those people who are isolated. And I would like to give messages to people, encouraging message to those people who their dreams are not being answered. So, but if I think about those messages only, then I cannot give messages in regard to God's kingdom and being slave to God. I want you to continue to come to church. But that's the kind of message we do need to know. When Jesus Christ started his ministry, official ministry, this is what he said. If you look at Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Well, at the beginning of his ministry, this is what Jesus Christ said. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. That's what it says. So, if your head is made of gold, your chest is made of silver, and your belly is made of bronze, and you may look very impressive, and you may feel like you are dominating the world, but a rock that represents God may smash you to pieces. So before that happens, repent and believe the good news. That's what Jesus Christ said. That's what Jesus Christ said. So, Jesus Christ was, in a sense, reinterpreting the stories of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. That's what Daniel said when he interpreted King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The huge statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream was nothing special in that sense. In a sense, that's the message we receive from this world. We are exposed to that kind of message every day in this world. This worldly message. There are many things in this world that impress us, look awesome, but the rock may smash them to pieces. But if you don't read the Bible, if you don't have the faith in Jesus, you don't understand. Daniel gave us this, interpreted that dream of Nebuchadnezzar's, but he, in a sense, interpreted his interpretation is applicable to us today. Everything that we think about in this world, we feel like we want to look impressive, we want to look proud, and we are afraid. That's what we experience. And we are oftentimes controlled by the world, the large, impressive statue. So, the golden head and silver silver chest and other things. But the rock that is cut out by God will smash them to pieces. But Jesus Christ, which is the stone, the rock, will give us hope and give us the eternal kingdom. We are His slaves. Let us pray.